Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on iTunes.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Monday, the 17th of April, 2023. In their setting, the characters in Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales begin their travels in the year 1387. It will be 10 years later to the day that Chaucer first tells the story in the court of the English king. The tales are believed to have been written between the two dates. Chaucer is considered the first notable poet in English literature. The tales relate and criticize hypocrisy and social order of the day. Interestingly, the film A Knight's Tale aired this weekend. That flick is delightfully full of comic spoofs and is very loosely patterned after Chaucer. In that telling, Chaucer is the herald, and the title itself is a spoof of the first story in Canterbury Tales, The Knight's Tale. Chaucer seems to have been connected to royal society and his family of some means. The historic trial of Martin Luther at Worms begins in 1521. Luther was quite lucky that he was not burned at the stake. Church matters often spilled over to government matters and could be the basis for a treason charge. Such was the case of Thomas More in 1534. More was a minority pro-Catholic voice during the reign of English King Henry VIII. He was outspoken that the king and England as a whole were at odds with the church and pope. Imprisoned on this day, he will be tried and convicted on the charges. The king, wishing to be generous, commuted the punishment to beheading over being hung, drawn, and quartered. There were centuries of history in Europe that prompted the founding fathers of this country to make special mention that government should be removed from the church and the provisional ban on cruel and unusual punishment. What is lost today is they had no issue with the church influencing government. They wanted government out of the church. In both Luther and More's cases, the government was closely entwined with the church. Alexander Cartwright is born in 1820 in New York City. As a teen and into his 20s, he often played the game of stick and ball, sometimes known as baseball, in New York City. He was a founding member of the New York Knickerbockers Baseball Club, and in 1845 is believed to have been the author of the Knickerbocker Rules, widely regarded as the birth of the American game. Russia and America agree to terms of the Russo-American Treaty in 1824 on this day. It will go into effect the next January. In the pact, Russia gives up any claim on lands south of the line that today is the southern tip of the Alaska Panhandle. At the time, America and England are debating the area that is now the Pacific coast of Canada. Banker J.P. Morgan is born in 1837. Morgan's grandfather seems to be the first in the family of means. The elder Morgan operated a tavern, coffee house, and stagecoach line before becoming a founding partner in the Athena Fire Insurance Company in 1819. By that time, the Morgan family had been in the U.S. for 80 years. The insurance business is where the family made their first money. During the Civil War, the cavalry played a very vital role. The South was much more attuned to horse soldiers than was the North. In 1863, Colonel Benjamin Grierson leads a cavalry raid across rural Mississippi to support General Grant's moves on Vicksburg and attempts to control the Mississippi River. Grierson was one of the leading federal cavalry commanders, especially in the Western Theater. The irony? Grierson had been kicked in the head as a small child, nearly killed, and hated horses. Not deterred, he was one of the few Civil War officers who went from civilian to officer that stayed in the post-war army. He will retire from the army in 1890. The role John Wayne played in the film The Horse Soldiers is loosely based on Grierson. The 1863 raid is considered one of the best by federal cavalry in the entire war. The immigration center on Ellis Island was quite busy in 1907. On this day, they processed more immigrants than any other day, 11,747 people in total. DuPont scientists invent neoprene in 1930. It will be another 50 years before the spongy rubber is widely used as mouse pads. Prior to that, it was the material of divers' wetsuits. Those who would like to diminish American historical significance continue to point to the slavery issue as a case in point. What they fail to mention is the institution is one of the oldest in history. The Bible documents it back some 4,000 years. It was a keystone of the Roman Empire, maybe more than here in the United States. America and England were the leading advocates for abolishing it, but we were only successful here in America and Europe. It is still widespread around the world, maybe mostly in Africa. While Africans were often the target of the European slave trades, they also practiced it, as did Native Americans. On this day in 1932, Ethiopia ends slavery there. Let the record show, that is almost 70 years after it ended here. That is not the last remnant on the continent. The Cuban Bay of Pigs invasion fails in 1961. It was a poorly planned and worse executed effort by Cuban exiles living here in the States and the U.S. government to overthrow the Castro regime. The Ford Mustang is introduced in 1964. Sirhan Sirhan is convicted of the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy in 1969. He was 24 at the time of the shooting. His animus was he had grown up in Israel as a Palestinian and disliked the U.S. policy of support for the Jewish state. On March 1st of this year, he was denied parole for the 17th time. He has never been a U.S. citizen and might be deported if released. That would make him a poster child for opposition to the U.S. in the Middle East. The band performs their first concert in 1969. You might recall their songs, The Wait, and The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. America and the world breathe a collective sigh of relief as Apollo 13 splashed down in 1970. The re-entry was the last perilous event in the harrowing flight. Paul McCartney releases his first solo album, McCartney, in 1970. 10 years ago, a fire at a fertilizer plant in the town of West Texas kills 15 and injures another 160. It is well known the fertilizer ammonium nitrate is an excellent fertilizer, but because of its chemical nature, it is also an excellent explosive. It is rather inert, except when exposed to a large fire as at West Texas, or a significant shock as from dynamite or a blasting cap. The spring stockpile at the Texas plant was exposed to fire that quickly overcame the local department's ability to control. It also raised questions how the hazard was so close to residential areas. If you look at farm chemical facilities built in recent years, they are more remotely located. Ringling.com claims it's World Circus Day. Ancient theologian Tertullian, writing about the year 200, is sounding much like some of the more hardcore preachers of today when he argues that human enjoyment can be an offense to God. He further argues that shows and spectacles of the day derived from pagan rituals. He claims the first circus games were staged by the goddess Circe in honor of her father Helios, the Greek sun god, which might explain why circus is related to the word circle. The modern circus dates back to about 1768, when horse trainer Philip Astley brought in other acts to mix in between his horse tricks. That's History in Comment. For the 17th day of April, I'm Doug Terrell. Now go do something worth remembering.